Ruchim Abayim Rabotai, we are continuing our study of the Amidah and Tefillah. We are studying these classes, the Zecher Neshmat, the Tzaddik, and the Hasid, Rabbi David and Moshe. Ruach Hashem Tenihenu Began Eden. Amen. It's always a big zechut just to mention the tzaddik's name before the shi'ur, and we hope that in the merit of learning to elevate the neshama of the tzaddikim, that our neshamot becomes elevated as well. As I told you in previous classes, we didn't come here to give a literal interpretation to the Amidah. If you want to do that, you could take the Siddurim outside. We have English Siddurim. And you could just read the linear translation. And you'll continue to be a robot and pray the Amidah mechanically. Because just getting an English interpretation to the Amidah doesn't accomplish what we're trying to accomplish in the Shi'urim. What we're trying to accomplish is to give you, and myself as well, a background to the whole concept of what a minyan is, what a synagogue is, what prayer represents. Once you get the full picture of what's taking place when you enter a synagogue and you pray the Amidah with the use of the 22 letters and the use of the mouthpiece, as we've talked in previous shiurim, then already the words start to have life in them. Otherwise, God forbid, it's like reading the New York Times, you're reading it, even though you understand every word, but it becomes very, very monotonous. It can become very, very routine. So in the Shi'urim, we hope to encompass a broader overview of what's taking place in the synagogue as well. So before we begin, I haven't marked down where we left off. I want to say over a concept. I think it's very important to know this concept. There is a midrash. The midrash is in Tehillim on the 150th chapter. That's the chapter that ends with the pasuk, the last pasuk in Tehillim. Kol haneshama tehallel, ya hallelujah. Which means the entire soul, kol haneshama tehallel, ya, will praise God, hallelujah. May God be praised. So the midrash writes like this: Kol haneshama tehallel, ya. Haneshama shebe'adam bechol sha'a. He olev yoredet. Every second, the neshama of a person goes up and comes down. Vimevakeshet latzit mimenu. And the neshama wants to leave. The neshama is not happy here. The neshama is a stranger. The neshama's origin is barikisei hakavod. Vehe achi omedet begufo. The midrash asks, it's a miracle. How does the neshama remain in the body? Don't take it for granted what I just told you, that it's a miracle. It's one of the greatest miracles that we witness every living second, that the neshama remains intertwined in the body, even though it's polar opposites. The neshama, which is the perfection of spirituality, and the body, which is physical, and these two opposites, like fire and water, are able to coexist, and they're bound together. There's a blessing we say every time we come out of the bathroom, Mechila. The beracha ends, Rofe chol basar, u'mefnil la'asot. God, you do things that are wondrous. Pele, a wondrous thing. And what is this wondrous thing that we're referring to? The fact that you're able to intertwine a body and a soul and keep them homogeneously connected without them separating from themselves, that's a pele. That's an amazing thing. It's like blowing air into a balloon and letting go, and the air stays in the balloon.
It's pele, impossible. Unless you make a knot. But if you just let it go, now the body has orifices. The body has a mouth, has ears, has the other parts of the body with its openings. So how does the neshama have so many different places where it can escape from? So it's an open balloon, and still the neshama is able to stay inside. That is indeed umafli la'asot. That is the greatest miracle. And the Midrash is saying the same thing. But the Midrash is giving us depth now. What's the mechanics? How does it stay in the body? Bore Olam's presence fills the world. Vihi ba'alatzit, when the neshama tries to escape, v'ro'e et yotzra, all of a sudden it sees God, v'chozeret le'achoreha, it makes a U-turn, it comes right back down in the body. Lekach kol neshama, kozman shi olev v'yoredet. Any time you breathe and the neshama has a chance to escape and it comes back down again, tehallel ya, you should give God praise. What's the depth of this midrash? So there's a great rabbi called the Al-Sheikh, Rabbi Moshe Al-Sheikh. He says like this, it's the nature of things that are similar to each other to attract. For example, if you put two flames close to each other, so the flames, they're drawn towards each other. The neshama is like a flame. Every neshama has a sister soul. The sister soul, let's say, is in the shamayim. So, by nature, the neshama is drawn to its part in heaven. It wants to go up. It doesn't want to stay in the physical body. It's like a magnet that's drawn to its partner. That's what we make such a big deal before we go to sleep when we say, "Biyadecha afkid ruhi." Please God, I'm giving you my ruach on consignment. Meaning, please give it back to me. Because we know it's a struggle every morning that a neshama says, I'm not going back. I don't want to go back to Brooklyn, New York. What do I do in Brooklyn? Even the body doesn't want to be in Brooklyn sometimes. Could you imagine the neshama? And God says, no, you got to go down. And that's why the first thing we say in the morning, oh, modani lefanecha shehazarta b'nishmati. We didn't wake up for 3 seconds. Thanks for giving me back the neshama. Then we say, the next beracha, rofe chol basar umafli la'asot. Wow, it's a wonder. We're shocked. And then the next beracha, elokai neshama shenatata b'nish. The first 3 items that come out of our mouth in the morning is all talking about, wow. Because that's the most dangerous part, because the neshama is out. When it's in us, okay, it's in us. We can try to keep it in us. But once it leaves at night, we're very nervous. So we go to sleep with on our tongues, please, biyadecha afkid ruhi, I'm giving you my neshama consignment, please, padita atui Hashem, please redeem me in the morning. Then in the morning, right away, when it comes back, oh, Baruch Hashem. So the Midrash says, what keeps the neshama grounded in the body? So the Rashi says, what keeps the neshama grounded is every time it's about to leave, it sees the Shekhinah. It sees the divine presence. And the Shekhinah is God's presence. And the neshama says, if God, who is so holy, and Borei Olam, who is so divine, and so elevated, and if he could come down and stay in this world, so what am I? I'm only a piece of God. And therefore, I'll stay down as well. So the neshama's incentive to remain in the human body is, when it sees the Shekhinah downstairs, oh, okay, I'm not better than the Shekhinah. Kol ha-neshama, anytime the neshama goes up and comes back down, Tehallel ya, give God praise. Because if it wasn't for God downstairs, the neshama is not staying downstairs either. Therefore, you must give God praise that He's willing to humble Himself to stay down on earth. Because if it wasn't for that, the neshama would never stay. Once you understand this concept that I'm telling you, so I'd like to explain to you one more facet and then relate it to the synagogue.
The goal then, of course, what I'm teaching you is, if you want your neshama never to leave you, very simple. Just make sure always that the Shekhinah is next to you. As long as the Shekhinah is next to you, the neshama can never leave you. Because anytime the neshama is going to want to escape, Shekhinah, we'll come back down. But God forbid, if people act in ways that the Shekhinah leaves them, then Chas v'Shalom, they're in jeopardy of their soul just escaping. The mashal, just a quick example. Bil'am harasha, our enemies know all this. We're not going to class, they know it. We have to go to class to figure this out. They just know this intuitively. Bil'am, after he tried to curse us, he couldn't curse, it didn't work. So what did he do? He brought znut. He brought promiscuity to the nation. Girls, women, stuff. And he knows, Elokechem shel elu sonezimahu, their God hates immodesty. It's one of God's things. He doesn't like immodesty, doesn't he? He hates it. And God says, with his immodesty, with his promiscuity, I cannot stay. As the pasuk says, Velo yehiye becha irvat davar veshav me'acharecha. With his irva, with his immodesty, God says, I leave. Veshav. So the Jewish people now start to commit zanut. What happens? Shekhinah leaves. Now it's very easy. Neshama. And what happens? Instantaneously, 24,000 people die. So you have to know that any time a person is in a situation where there's Shekhinah is not next to him, he's in danger. Because now the neshama says, oh, I'm only staying here because I have a connection with the Shekhinah. If God comes, then I come. If God's not here, what am I doing? He runs out. That's why you always need to surround yourself where there's going to be Kiddusha. I want to explain this to you. The Gemara says, when you go visit a sick person, you shouldn't stand by his head. You should stand by the midsection of his body, by his feet, but don't stand by the head. Because the Shekhinah is on top of the head of a sick person. God's presence is by the Chole. Why? Because when a person is sick, the Neshama is trying to leave. It's trying to escape. The only way the Neshama will remain in the body is if the Shekhinah comes very close to the person. So the Neshama says, well, if God is there, alright, so where am I going? So it's a favor that Borei Olam does to the sick person. Otherwise his neshama would escape. The Gemara says, Hash berosho yasok b'Torah. Person has a headache, God forbid, study Torah. Hash b'me'av, bad man, he has intestinal problems, yasok b'Torah, study Torah. Hash b'chol evarav, Yasuk b'Torah. Any limb is aching, go study Torah. The Torah is not against taking a painkiller or a Tylenol or medicine, but the Gemara is really telling you, if you really want to know the root, go study Torah. What does it mean? If one limb of a body is hurting, what does that mean? That means the influence of the neshama has left that limb. The neshama is in the brain, but it gives life to the entire body. As the neshama starts to leave the body, so, God forbid, it leaves different organs. And therefore there's pain. Where the neshama is, so a person has healing. But when the person is, chas v'shalom, under stress, or of a tza'ar, of an agony, so they say, study Torah. Why? The Bishnah Pirkei Avot says, even when one person is studying Torah, Shekhinah kenegdo. The Shekhinah comes down to hear the Devarei Torah. Once the Shekhinah comes down, what happens? The Neshama comes back down to that part of the body, and therefore the ailments go away. So it's vital to always surround ourselves in the presence of the Shekhinah. There's nothing to talk. Example. The Jewish people worshipped. The Jewish people came to the foot of Sinai. They received the Torah and Shavuot. At that moment, there was such holiness. God said,
the Malach HaMavit has no domain over you, has no domination. You are free from the clutches of the angel of death. That's how holy we became. The Shekhinah was this close. It was on us. Vayered Adonai al Har Sinai. God came down. It was so close that the Neshama became entrenched in us. It would never have left. Until when? Till the Egel. Once we did the Egel, oh, God says, Ani amarti Elohim atem, ubnei alyon kulechem. I said, you're going to be like angels, bnei alyon. Achen ke adam temutun. But now, you're going to die like Adam died. Adam Rishon was not supposed to die. But when he sinned, what happened? He caused the Shekhinah to go up. Once the Shekhinah goes up, the Shema can escape. The same thing happened at Sinai. God came so close. God says, you're angels, you will not die. After we sinned, Achen ke adam temutun, you're like Adam. You're going to die like Adam. And it was very dangerous. That's why right after the Egel, what did God do? He told us, you better make a Mishkan. So the Shekhinah at least can come down to the Mishkan. So at least the Neshama will stay in you. Because without the Mishkan, we don't have a shot. My question to you in the introduction part of tonight's shiur is, what do we do today? Mishkan, we don't have. Beit HaMikdash, we don't have. We need to keep our neshama in us as long as we can. And based on tonight's formula, it's only going to be in a place where the neshama sees the Shekhinah Kedoshah, and therefore says, if the Shekhinah is down here, where am I going? The Gemara says in Megillah, they told Rabbi Yohanan, Ika Sabe BeBabel. There's old timers living in Babel. There's old men living in Babel. He said, impossible. Rabbi, why is it impossible? Because the Pasuk says in Kiryat Shema, Lema'an yirbu yimechem vimeh benechem al ha'adama. Long life is exclusive for Israel. In Israel, you get long life. Not in Babel. How could they? He couldn't accept it. Once they told him, but the people in Babel, they wake up early and go to synagogue, and they stay late at night in the synagogue. He said, why didn't you tell me that? Now I understand. We need to understand this Gemara. What did Rabbi Yohanan think? And then when they told him that the people come to the synagogue, now I understand. The explanation is like this. Where is God's presence? God's presence is in the land of Israel. We know that. Even today when we go to Eretz Yisrael, you feel it. Yerushalayim or the Warsaw, you feel it. I don't care if a guy's heart is made out of stone or rubber or a ceramic. You're going to feel something. You feel the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It's not like Coney Island Avenue. It's a little different. You feel an elevation. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Ene Adonai Elohecha ba mereshit ha-shana ba'ad acharit ha-shana. Because God is there. But in exile, the presence of the Shekhinah is not there. The Gemara Ketubot says, Kol adar b'chutz la'ares, kemi she'en no Elohah. Anybody that lives outside of Israel, it's like he has no God. Which means the influence of the Shekhinah is not here. Israel is there. So Rabbi Yohanan said, well, there's old people in Babel? Can't be. How does the Neshama stay in them? The Neshama should just fly out. They shouldn't make it too long. Israel? Yeah, Israel has the Shekhinah. So they told him, a Rabbi, they come to the synagogue. And I give you a secret now. The synagogue, you're in a synagogue right now, is like a miniature Beit HaMikdash. Even after the destruction, Va'ehi lahem le'mikdash me'at, the Pasuk says, that I am going to be to you a miniature Beit HaMikdash. If there's one place that the Shekhinah still is prevalent, and he
is there, the Shekhinah Kedusha, that's in the Bet Knesset and the Bet Midrash. And therefore, they told them, these people in Bavel, they spend their mornings in the synagogue, and they spend their evenings in the synagogue. He's, no wonder why the Neshama doesn't leave. Because it's always in the presence of the Shekhinah. They wake up to it, and they go to sleep to it. So the Neshama stays in. What are we learning from this Gemara? Statistics, you can make a statistic. People that attend synagogue live longer. That's what comes out. People that are involved in attending the Beit HaKnesset, you know you're in the presence of the Shekhinah, your neshama is more at ease, your neshama is more settled. Boys, walk out of these doors, you're on your own. I take no responsibility. I cannot guarantee what's going on Ocean Parkway. But for sure, once you're in the Beit Knesset, you're in God's house. Now the Neshama says, Shekinazi, where am I going? Stay. That's why attendance to the synagogue is vital. Somebody says, what are we going to do? I'll pray at home. We'll pray at home in front of the TV. Go pray at home. Go pray at home in front of all the whatever you're praying in front of. You come, the halakha says, even if you missed minyan, pray in the synagogue. Why? For this, for what we're saying now. Because every day, on a daily basis, they need you to get this connection. Because if the neshama is not exposed over a long period of time, already it goes. With this, I'm going to explain to you, there's a concept that whenever you find two pesukim that are next to each other in the Torah, there's a reason why they're next to each other. There's no coincidence. The last chapter in Tehillim, the last pasuk in Tehillim is what? Kol haneshama tehallel ya, hallelujah. And then what's the next pasuk? Well, the next pasuk goes back to the beginning of the book. Ashrei ha'ish. Let's talk about the first pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, fortunate is the man that doesn't go in the way of sinners and didn't sit with scoffers and doesn't associate himself with bad people. David, that's the opening of Tehillim. You're talking about people that go with sinners and people go with scoffers. This is the book of praises of God. Why does he open his book right away chastising? Fortunate is the man that stays away from the people that are jokesters and keeps away from the bad company. There has to be a reason why David HaMelech started with that pasuk. Which means, I would think he would start off the Tehillim, Kol haneshama tehallel ya, hallelujah. Now you get me into the mood of Tehillim. No, fortunate is the man that keeps away from the bad company. Rav Ari said, David HaMelech was supposed to die at birth. He wasn't supposed to make it. Only for 3 hours he was supposed to live. After 3 hours, David HaMelech was supposed to die. What happened was, God showed Adam HaRishon and said, you see this man called David? He is your Gilgul. David was the Gilgul of Adam HaRishon. Means Adam HaRishon came back in David HaMelech. And David HaMelech is the tikkun of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon brought death to the world. But if David doesn't have any life, he cannot make the tikkun. So God tells Adam, listen, you have 1,000 years you're supposed to live. If you want to have a second chance, you need to make a donation of some life to David. He said, I'll give him 70 years. David indeed lived 70 years. And Adam HaRishon only lived to 930. So, the years of David are whose years? Adam's years. He's living on Adam's time. David HaMelech, through his life, made the ultimate tikkun of Adam HaRishon. That means, he rid himself of death. Adam brought death to the world. How? He made a sin. What happened to the Shekhinah? Shekhinah went up. Once Shekhinah went up, Now death was an availability. Now death was an option.
David HaMelech,
whatever he did, I cannot say tonight, but he made the tikkun. What do we say about David HaMelech? David HaMelech Israel, Hayvikayam. David doesn't die. He fixed it. David Hayvikayam doesn't die. So when he opened his book of Tehillim, what's the first thing he says? Fortunate is the person that doesn't go in the way of the sinners. Who's he talking about? Adam HaRishon. And doesn't listen to the scoffers, that's the snake. And doesn't go in the way of the bad company, that's listening to Habit. But you right away, at the beginning of the book, he says, fortunate is the person. Because the person that doesn't do that, he fixes the sin. And how does he end this Tehillim? Kol ha-neshama tehallel ya. Every time the neshama tries to leave the body and comes back, give praise to God, because God comes down to earth, and that's where the neshama stays. And you know why that is? Ashrei ha'ish. Fortunate is the man that doesn't go in the way like Adam and Rishon, because Adam and Rishon brought this death. And if a person wants the neshama to stay in him, he has to praise God. And then, well, don't go in the ways of the bad people. Don't listen to the Atzah of the Yetzer Hara. I give you this introduction again, because now I'm excited. Not only to pray the Amidah. So I'm going to give you interpretations now. El Elyon, the God that is very exalted. Gomel, He gives reward. Hasadim, Tobim. Okay, words. So now we're parroting words. But now I'm excited. I'm walking into the Beit Knesset. Oh. Now when somebody comes and tells me, when I'm lying in bed in the morning, are you going to go to shul today? Well, of course, it's insurance policy. No, I'm going to pray at home. I'm going to pray in my pajamas and in the basement. I'll go pray in the basement. Not a slumber party over here. To the Beit Knesset. Even if the minyan is over, the mere fact God is in the Beit Knesset. Shekhinah is here. Your neshama needs to connect to the Shekhinah every single day. And it brings long life. Eat healthy, no question. Exercise. Yeah. But again, all that's for the body. If the neshama doesn't have that connection, so again, it's... Now... We're talking over here in generalities. This doesn't mean you're going to tell, oh, Rabbi, then how come one time a guy went to shul and then he died? Oh, okay. I'm not God. I cannot give you all the answers to every single question on when the formula doesn't work. These are the formulas the Hakamim gave you. That's the mystery of life. That we learn concepts, and then when there's the exception to the rule, you say, oh, that's where Emunah comes in. But we're talking in conceptually, this is the way Borei Olam created the procedure. Okay. So go to shul. Now once you're in shul, you pray the Amidah. Where are we up to in the Amidah? El Elyon. Oh, what does this mean? Literally, El Elyon, God is high. Oh, that's true. There's seven heavens. The seven heavens are light years away. Not even light years. Huh? There's more than light years. There's spiritual light years. Thank you, Shakabod. El Elyon, God is beyond. El Elyon also means God is beyond not only in distance, but we cannot fathom Him. He's too high. He's too exalted. I have a hard time fathoming the brain of Hakam Avadya. How could it be? How could a human being write so many sifarim? Go back generations. We can't even fathom Rashi. How did Rashi write a commentary on every pasuk? Harambam. The Rambam codified the whole Torah. He wrote 14 books. The whole Torah is in these books. And he said it himself. After you read my books, you don't need any other book. This is it. There's the whole Torah. How did a human being do this? To crystallize every square inch of the Torah? If we can't quantify the Rambam, Rashi, or even the modern rabbis of today, you think we can fathom HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So in the Amidah we come along and say, El Elyon. You are beyond our grasp. Whatever we understand about God, is just we need to say something. But ultimately, we cannot understand. I say this because you always have to remember, God is El Elyon. And that's why we can't always understand Him. It's a very important lesson to know. Somebody that's beyond you is beyond your comprehension. So He's not going to be predictable always to you. He's not going to be obvious always. You're going to think, oh, this is going to happen, and something else happens. And that's because God's El Elyon. God's... Somebody once said to the rabbi, I don't understand God. So the rabbi said, you want a God that you understand? That means God has your brain? You want to bring God like this, that He has the same IQ as you? You want a God that beyond, that you shouldn't always be predictable, because if God's always predictable, then you can be God. There's some logic to that. El Elyon. But then the next line of the Amidah is Gomel Hasadim Tobim. God does for us good kindnesses. I'll explain to you in a minute. What do you mean good kindness? Hasadim Tobim. Is there Hasadim Ra'im? Hasadim Tobim. Just like Gomel Hasadim. I tell you, you know, I'm going to do you a good Hasid. Oh, thanks. As opposed to what, a bad Hasid? Hasid means good. No? In a minute, I'll explain to you that. But I want to explain to you the connection. El Elyon, Gomel Hasadim Tobim. As high as God is, as beyond as He is, as far as He is, that's how close He is to us. He still does favors to us. He's still intimately involved with us, which means we're showing the dichotomy. El Elyon, you say, oh, God's too far away. He doesn't know who I am. He's not involved with my life. So we're showing how humble God is. Bimkom she'atam motze gadluto, sham atam motze advetenuto. In the place where you find the greatness of God, that's where you find His humility. As great as He is, El Elyon, beyond comprehension, deep, beyond. Okay, He's doing a favor to us. Normally, when somebody is very high, they don't deal with the small people. Alone myself. They don't want to talk to the peasants and to the low people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has El Elyon. You know what He's doing? He's worried about my paycheck. He's worried about that I have cereal tomorrow morning and milk. He's worried about all my needs of my daily living. Don't think I forgot you. Don't think, El Elyon, I'm all the way up there not worrying about you. I'm involved doing hasadim to the world every single second. I told you once, wherever you find the greatness of God, that's where you find the humility of God. The greater He is, the more humble He is. Okay, let's go. You ready for the numbers games now? We did this once before. Okay, Yudke Vavke is how much? 26. What's 2 and 6? 8. Okay, so one God is 26, which is 8. Let's do 2 Havayot, 2 Yudke Vavkes. 2 Yudke Vavkes is how much? 26 times 2? 52. 5 and 2? 7. The more God, the more humble He becomes. You want 8 to 7? Okay, 3 times Havayah. What's 3 times Havayah? 78. 7 and 8 is what? 15. 1 and 5 is 6. Oh, 8, 7, 6. You have 3 times God. Keep on going. 4 times 26. What's 4 times 26? 104. 1 and 4? 5. 8, 7, 6, 5. Keep on going. What's that? 130. 130, 130 is 4. The more you have of God, the lower He becomes. Which means, Bimkom she'atam motze, I keep on going. It works. 156. I did it. Don't wait. I didn't prepare this before I came. I prepared it. The more you go, till you get all the way to that. The more you see the gadlut of God Baruch Hu, that's where you see the anava. That's where you think, El Elyon. So high. Gomel hasadim tovim. You see the hamashpili lirot b'shamayim u'ba'aretz. God looks down to the shamayim and the aretz. But what does it mean hasadim tobim? This we need to understand. So one interpretation is like this. everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us is good. God doesn't do bad. Even things that we perceive as bad, but ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it for our best. So therefore, if a doctor would come along, I take a knife, a scalpel, and cut open a patient, you say, what are you doing? He says, I'm doing a chesed. Chesed, bleeding all over the place. But ultimately, that's a chesed, it's good. You might not know it's good, but the doctor has to tell you, I know it doesn't look like it's a chesed, but trust me, it's tov. Trust me, I'm going to save your life with this scalpel. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesedim, he tells us, they're tovim. Even though you might not see that they're good, the chesedim are ultimately all good. Everything is chesed. But we don't want those type of chesed. We don't want a chesed or a scalpel and all that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesedim are ultimately for the best of the person. God forbid somebody loses money. God says, it's chesedim to me. I only do things that are to your benefit. God, losing money is to my benefit? Yeah, you know why? Bar Minan, you were supposed to lose your life. So I was coming after you. But you're lucky you had some money. So I was able to take the money, and I spared your life. Oh, take the money. Okay, beautiful. Oh, yeah. Phenomenal. I killed the cow, but I saved the body, the human. Good, take the cow. So therefore, Gomel Hasadim Tobim, even though it doesn't look like it, trust me, God says they're good. They Hasadim Tobim. Now, watch the next line. You see, when you learn the Amidah, you have to learn each word individual. Then you have to connect the words. Why is this next to this? Why is this next to that? So we say, Elyon. Gomel Hasadim Tobim. That's again, God's high, but he's low. And the Hasadim that he does to us, they're good, even though we don't see that they're good. Koneh Hakol. Oh, what does Koneh Hakol mean? Koneh Hakol. God literally means he created everything. That's a wrong interpretation. I just said it, he created. It doesn't say Koneh Hakol. Koneh. God is constantly creating the entire world, which means when you read the words Koneh Hakol, it's like it says Oseh Hakol. Koneh Shamayim Va'aretz means Oseh Shamayim Va'aretz. God constantly is infusing life into the world. Again, where's the mashah? I like to give the mashah. The guy that made this tissue box, where is he? Blowing his nose. I told you last week. Where is he? He's blowing his nose. No way. I don't know where he is. Is he related to this tissue box anymore? No, after he created it, finished. The box exists without him. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. If he would take his mind off the world for 1 second, the world goes... So therefore, Koneh Hakol, God is in the present, constantly creating the world. He's infusing life into the world. Koneh also comes from the Hebrew word kinyan. God is the proprietor of the world. Koneh Hakol, I own everything. Yeah. We don't own anything in this world. We call it my house. Your house? Yeah. My car. You know nothing. When we write our names in the book, you know how we write our names in the book? We write like this. Lehashem ha'ares umlo'ah. Everything belongs to God. The book is in the possession of Eli Mansell. It's only in my possession, but it doesn't belong to me. Your body doesn't belong to you. Your possessions don't belong to you. They're all on loan by Borei Olam. And therefore we say, you're the landlord. You're the sole proprietor. Put a big sign, property of God. Koneh Hakol. But I want to explain to you now the way Rav Chaim Vital said these pesukim. I don't understand it too much, to be honest with you. You'll go to your local Kabbalist, and they'll explain these things to you. But he says like this. it seems there are certain hasadim that constantly come down to the world. God is chesed. I don't even know what I'm saying now, but it seems there's, when God sends His kindness to the world, there's different hasadim. How should I tell it to you? Just like there's different sweeteners, there's sugar, there's honey, there's stevia, there's NutraSweet. Levdil. There's 72 hasadim that God brings down to the world. 72 sweeteners. Oh, beautiful. It's a good array of sweets. Candy store. The numerical value of chesed is 72. Keneged, the 72 hasadim the world has. However, 17 of those hasadim God removed from the world because the world was not perfected, the world could not benefit from them. Those 17 hasadim, when Mashiach comes, He'll bring those down to the world. Good? So He says like this. How many hasadim are we left with? 55. Say it right like this. Gomel hasadim. God brings down to the world hasadim. But tovim. Tov is 17. Which means, besides the hasadim that you see in the world, there's only 55. Gomel hasadim, you should know there's tovim, there's tov, there's 17 more. But that's not going to come until the end. Kone hakol. What's the numerical value of hakol? 55. Which means, kone hakol, in the world that God created now, hakol. We're under the influence of the 55. Why do I tell you this? I tell you so you get excited. Then look at every word, hakol, 55, kone get the hasadim, and tobim, tob. Didn't I ask you a question? What does it say, tob? Hasadim, tobim, I was tob. Because the tob is referring to the 17. La'atid lavo. Oh, okay. Are you going to think of this every time? I don't know if you are. But you know what? You'll forget it maybe. But I know you're going to come to these words in the Amidah. Gomel hasadim tovim kunako. You're going to remember why. I remember the rabbi said something here. There's deep stuff here. There's deep stuff. That's what I want you to do. Then all of a sudden, God will finish the kavanot for you. But if you don't have respect for the words, then the words don't mean anything. I told you what the Baal Shem Tov said. Tzohar ta'aseh la-teva. You have to infuse in the teva, in the word. The teva is the ark. But the teva also means the word. Teva is a word. Tzohar, you have to infuse light in the teva. That means when you get to the teva, the Amir, they say, oh, this word means a lot of stuff here. Oh, then it has wings. Then the word goes up. Let's go a little more. Vezocher hasde avot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the hasadim of the fathers, of the avot, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Two explanations to what this means. We have no zechuyot. Right, let's call a spade a spade. We're good people, we're nice people, we give charity. But if Mashiach is going to come, we need what's called Zechut Avot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Avot that the day will come and God will keep His covenant and redeem their descendants. So therefore we remind God, not that He needs to be reminded, V'zocher constantly in the present Hasde Avot, the chesed that God did to the Avot. What was the chesed that God did to the Avot? He promised them that there's going to be a Geula. So, v'zocher hasde Avot. You told the Avot already that v'akimoti et beriti, etc. V'afkam zot behiotam be'eres way behem lo mastim v'lo galtim l'chalotam l'afer beriti etam. Kari Hashem elokichem v'zacharti et beriti Yaakov v'afer beriti Yitzhak v'afer beriti Avraham Yitzchok. We read this week's parasha. God says, I will remember the covenant. Another interpretation is, Vezocher Hasde Avot. God remembers all the good things that the Avot did, and therefore has mercy on their children. He remembers Abraham Avinu did a lot of good things. I don't have to mention them now. Yitzhak Avinu, Yaakov, Vezocher Hasdei Avot. God remembers the goodness of the Avot. And as a result of that, as a result of remembering what the Avot did, Umebi Goel, he brings, again, let's look at the language here, all present tense, Umevi Goel. He's bringing the Goel. What is God doing right now? He is bringing the redemption. Because every second we come closer to the redemption. We just finished the Shi'ur Torah. We brought the redemption closer. God's constantly moving the redemption along to get it to its final state. You're reading world events. A guy in Iran. The president has a meeting with the... You're watching stuff going on. You're saying, what's going on? Umevi Goel. That's all part of the process of pushing along the redemption. Umevi Goel. And nobody should despair. We've had many redemptions in the past. The first redemption was Mitzrayim. Min Mitzrayim ge'altanu. That's the paradigm. I don't have to sing the whole song. That's the paradigm. Ge'ula. The next Ge'ula was from Bavel. 70 years we were in exile in Bavel. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And what? God redeemed us from Bavel. Then we had Malchut Yavan. Why? Yavan was a rough one. That's the miracle of Hanukkah. The Greeks came along, they defiled the temple, but God saved us. So nobody should get nervous. We're in now the exile of Edom. That's the longest of the, that's almost 2,000 years. Babel was only 70 years. Egypt was only 210 years. Edom is 2,000 years so far. Wow. But don't worry. The God that took us out of Mitzrayim, and the God that redeemed us from Babel, and from Yavan, will redeem us from Edom. Umevi Goel, Mevi Rashi Tevot, Mitzrayim, Babel, Yavan, Edom. So when you read Umevi, you remind yourself, Umevi, don't be nervous, Mitzrayim, Babel, Yavan, Edom also. That's why the Aleph is at the end. That's the last of the redemptions. Umevi. Yeah, because you're amazed. I'm also amazed. You think because I'm giving this shiur, I'm not amazed. When I see these divrito, I go out of my mind, I say, what's going on? I'm saying the word Umevi Goel a million times, that I know the four exiles already alluded in the word Umevi. Umevi Goel, Libne Benehem, God is going to bring, and He has brought already. Therefore, if there's a precedence, if it happened once, it could happen twice. And if it happened twice, certainly it could happen three times. If it happened three times, but that could happen four times. So we shouldn't despair. Because the exile has been so long, you might say to yourself, what's going to be? God forgot about it. Don't worry. Umevi Goel, Libne Benehem, to their children, meaning the children of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Now, last point, lema'an shemo be'ahava. These three words need to be explained. There is a theory out there that says zechut avot has run out. If the zechut avot of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, if we've exhausted it, to machloket in the Gemara. If the zechut avot is still there, so we say v'zocher hasdei avot umebi goel libne b'nehem. But what if the zechut has expired? So then God says lema'an shemo. Then I'll bring it for my name's sake. So don't worry. Either way, this is going to be a geula, either because of zechut avot or lema'an shemo, for the sake of my name. But what? When a father has a child, so the father tells the child, you know what? I'm going to take you to the ball game. you know what, you did zikhuyot, you have good deeds, you did good in school, I'm going to reward you. So the son earned it. The son goes to the father, happy with the son. But let's say the son is delinquent, and the son is not following what he's supposed to do. But the father already bought tickets to the ball game. So he tells the kid, you don't deserve it. But you know what? I'm doing it for myself. I bought the tickets already. I don't want to waste the money. I'm taking you to the game, but that game, the kid's not so happy and the father's not so happy. He's taking him because you don't want to waste the money. You understand what happens sometimes? We're taking the kid. You're going on the vacation. Really, you don't want to take the kid now. He wasn't good in school, but you're going already. You made the reservations. So you tell the kid, you know what? If I was able to, I'd leave you home. But, you know, you're coming with us, but get in the car. You're stuck. So we're nervous now. God says, "Bezocher hasde avot." You know what? I'm going to remember the zechut of the avot. Umibi goel. Good. The avot, they kosher it for us. The avot was tzaddikim. God's going to redeem us. God's in a good mood. But he says, hey. But if the zechut of the avot runs out, meaning if we have so much averot, that even the zechut avot, then I'm bringing it lema'an shemo. Then I'm bringing it because I have to do it for myself. But don't worry, be'ahaba. Even when I'm going to bring it for my name's sake, don't be nervous. It'll still be be'ahaba. It'll still be out of love. That's the unconditional love that God has with the Jewish people. When you read the word be'ahaba, at that point you're supposed to say, look how much God loves us. Even if we don't deserve it, even if the zechut avot is not strong enough to redeem us, even if he's doing it because he has to redeem us for his name's sake, but still it's be'ahava. At that moment we're elevated by the tefillah. That's why if you look into some of the holy books, the Siddurim, it says at that point you have to be willing to give your life up for God. Arba mitot bet din, sekila, serefa, herek b'chenek. Look at the siduri. You have it there? It says, of course it says. I'm making it up. Oh. Kishi yomar be'ahava, yechaven nemsor atzma al kiddush Hashem. I'm supposed to think to yourself, you know what, God? I'm willing to give over myself to you, and I accept upon myself the four punishments of bet din. Why at that point? Because when you see how much Borei Olam loves us, that he's going to redeem us even if we don't deserve it, and he's going to do it leman shemo, and still be ba'ava, so it has to be reciprocal. When somebody shows you a tremendous amount of love, you have to show the love back. Therefore we say, you're doing this for us, oh, we're willing to give everything to you as well. At that point there's a love affair taking place between God and us. When you get to the ahaba, you're supposed to feel your body's supposed to start to tingle from excitement. Oh, be'ahava, look how much God loves me. Look how much I love God. It's two ways, the ahava. I love God, and God loves me. That's why we say, be'ahava is bet ahava. It's two ways. Right? Bet ahava. And I told you last week, ahava equals how much? 13. Bet Ahava is 26. 26 Shem Hashem. Shem Hashem is Midat HaRachamim. Probably we're going to, one day we're going to finish the first Berachah of Amidah, boys. I guarantee you. We're going to do it without Hashem. I intend to finish the whole Amidah, to be honest with you. But this is already something we can digest already tonight. Number one, come to the Bet Knesset if you want your Neshama to stay in you. The Bet Knesset has the Shekhinah. It's Mikdash Me'at. Kol HaNeshama Talel Ya Halelu. Every time the Neshama, you breathe, you have to thank God that His Shekhinah is resting on earth. And where is that? That's in the Bet Knesset. Therefore, you have to come to the Bet Knesset, even if you don't pray with Him, you have to be here. Just visit it. Sit in the Bet Knesset. Ashrei Yoshevei Betecha. Just sit in the Bet Knesset. You have Beracha. Because your Neshama now feels at home. That's what David HaMelech, he made that tikkun of Adam HaRishon. And then we said, all the kavanot be'el alyon, gomel hasadim tovi. As high as he is, he's low to take care of us. Kone HaKol, he owns everything. He created everything, including the 55 hasadim of HaKol. V'zocher hasde avot, he remembers the hasadim of the avot, is guaranteed to them, or their zechuyot. Umevi, and he's bringing the Ge'ulah. Umevi, the four exiles. Misraim, Babel, Yavan, Edom, Libne Benehem. And if we don't deserve it, Leman Shemo. But don't worry. Be'ahaba. Amen.